Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be upon your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus Christ that we would hear you. We ask, Lord, that you would help us and strengthen us. And as we make room for your word in our life, we pray that we would hear the heroes of the Bible. Heroes of the Bible are not rewarded because of their greatness, or they're not rewarded because of their ability to gather lots of money in business, like we reward people here today. But heroes in the Bible are rewarded for their ability to overcome, and their ability for suffering, their ability to achieve the will of God. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and help us to understand exactly what it is you're saying. In Jesus' wonderful name, and we said together, amen. Remain standing for the reading of God's word. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, and he was upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people in the east. His sons would actually go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite 3 of his sisters, to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning, and he would build and offer burnt offerings to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." And this Job did regularly. You may be seated. May God add a blessing to his word today. The Bible is, of course, a book that is amazing. When we understand and when we look at heroes of the Bible, do we see a super action figure? Somebody who is powerful in money, somebody who is powerful in strength, always winning, always being strong, and somehow the business executive of the Western world. Is that what we see? Heroes in the Bible are amazing because many of the heroes in the Bible are not people who are successful in business or who are brilliant in strategies or who are great in building money, but heroes in the Bible are absolutely stunning when it comes to overcoming problems, overcoming difficulties, and overcoming the enemy. The enemy. Who is the enemy? Who is the enemy? Satan, a fallen angel, formerly called Lucifer. We know about him because the Bible speaks about him a lot. Today we will read a section of Scripture where God speaks directly to Satan. And God allows us to hear what he said. Heroes of the Bible are amazing. The vast most important hero, the main theme of the Word of God, is a person who is who? Jesus Christ. Everywhere you look, Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ known for his business ability? Is he known for his strategy and all kinds of things? No, he is known because he has weathered all of the situations of man. And he has overcome. The last one which he weathered was death itself. And suddenly he overcame death. Now that's amazing because most of us don't escape death. But when we talk about the book of Job, this is a book that is absolutely fascinating. Job was a good man. We see his ability and we see his struggles and we see all of that here. And Job is a man who is talked about. It says, Job is a servant who did this. He was good. He had basically three businesses. According to the cattle and all of that, three businesses. And they were very successful. And in those businesses, he had smaller businesses. And you can see that through all of the livestock and everything that he built. And his household was very big. He was a vast man of the East, the best of the East. Job was an amazing man. His story is a book about wisdom, and it's a mixture of literature. It's written in poetry, and the poetry tells the truth. And the truth is that this man was very wealthy, and actually, he didn't squander his wealth. He loved God. Job was a man who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he loved Jesus Christ, he would, every time his sons would go and party and all that, he would make provision for them, and he would go sacrifice for them and make an offering for them. He would cover them just in case they sinned against God. That's what kind of father Job was. He was a great father too. It's interesting because as we continue to study the book of Job, we realize that Job is a great philosophy book. Great for the philosophy classes to ponder and understand. This is an excellent book for philosophy. I would recommend, if you have an interest in philosophy, that you should study the book of Job because it is fascinating. It includes the spiritual world at the beginning and at the end. But very little of the spiritual world, meaning God's heaven. There is, of course, the heaven where the birds fly. There is the heavens where the stars are. And then there is God's heaven. The third heaven, it does not really pay attention to until we get to the end. Chapter 42. It's interesting because Job is possibly the oldest book in the Bible. Now, a lot of people say, well, I thought Genesis was the oldest book. Well, the stories in Genesis are. But as a formal book, probably occurred at the time of Abraham. Job was a book that his offerings were measured in livestock and all of that, not money. And so it's important to recognize the ancientness of this book. Very interesting. It is simple yet sophisticated in its layout. So Job is a book that is made to pay attention to. We should look at it. And of course, I know that if I ask you here, how many of you have read the book of Job? Every hand would go up because all of you have read the entire book of Job, and I thank you for that. Really, you should read it sometime. It's part of reading the whole Bible. But the Bible talks about this. Jesus Christ is mentioned in Job as one who will change the way sin works on the planet. God shows us Job today so we can understand how sin works. Sin is something motivated by Satan. Who is Satan? He is a fallen angel. He is the enemy of our souls. He is somebody who wants to tear us apart. And God has said to us, and at the beginning in the Garden of Eden, according to the book of Genesis, Eve ate the fruit and Adam followed her. Now it's important, man, that you do not blame this on Eve, because Eve was just doing what her temptations told her. Remember that it was Adam that God spoke to when he gave the command, do not eat the fruit, or the day that you eat it, you will die. But how did Satan begin that argument? Has God really said you cannot eat the fruit? Has God really said? Has God really said. And all of the commentaries on the Bible that go against Christianity all begin the same way. Has God really said? Has God really said? Eve took the fruit, and Adam directly followed her. We lose by following women. Now listen carefully, men. When you follow women in the wrong way, you follow the sins. You are also sinful. But when you follow her sins, that's wrong. May I suggest that as believers in Jesus Christ, as Christians, that we follow women in the right way. And let me tell you something, that it's important to understand that there is good and evil in the spiritual realm. God has set it in motion. Because he knows that if we choose God as Lord of our lives, if we choose Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives, we have made a choice. When we make the choice, then suddenly we become an enemy of Satan. Isn't it exciting to be an enemy of Satan? Nobody's happy about that. Nobody's happy about that. Why not? It's great. You go out there and you get shot at. You get things thrown at you. You get all kinds of things happening in the spiritual realm. Why is that not great? Oh, I didn't tell you. Jesus Christ came and overcame all of the difficulties that Satan, and we can fight back. But we have to fight. We can't sit here and say, oh, this is happening to me. That's, of course, it's happening to you. You're a Christian. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. It's time for you to get up and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, stop that. In the name of Jesus Christ, do this. That doesn't mean you confront the person. It means you confront the spiritual realm. It means that you understand that you're in a fight. It's very important that we realize that. And by the way, just so you know, Job also recognized that in his situation. We'll get to that in a minute. But this is in chapter 19, in the midst of his suffering. We've heard that Job is a great man. We skip the suffering part to this point where Job is writing and he's saying, oh, that my words, Job chapter 19, 23 to 27, oh, that my words were written. They are. We're reading them. They are. Oh, that my words were written. He records three ways that they were inscribed in a book or on a scroll. The Hebrew here tells us that it's a writing scroll. That's one way. That they were engraved on a rock. That's another way. That they were written with an iron pen on lead forever. And that's a third way. And let me tell you something, that if I were to have my receipt, I would want my receipt on a rock or an iron lead, not on paper, because paper loses all the time. I lose paper, I lose bills, I lose everything. But when it comes to inscribing, this is the way that they did it, the three elements that they did it. But this is interesting because that's one side note. This is what he said, for I know that my Redeemer lives. That's in the middle of the Old Testament. I know that my Redeemer lives. Who is a Redeemer? Somebody who redeems your points. When you go to Chuck E. Cheese's, I don't know if anybody ever does that anymore, but back when I was a kid, I used to go to Chuck E. Cheese's, and Chuck E. Cheese's was great. Actually, I wasn't. When my son was a kid, he used to go to Chuck E. Cheese's. We never had Chuck E. Cheese's. You know, I wish we did. Anyway. We went to this, and we used to get these, we play these games, and we would try to win. I would try to win. My son was watching. And these tickets would come out, you know, and I'd get these long string of tickets, and I'd be happy to go redeem them. Give those tickets for a gift. Redemption. A redeemer is somebody who gives the cost for you to receive something. Jesus Christ died on the cross willingly, and he rose again willingly. So that you could have the gift of eternal life if you ask him in the name of Jesus, be my Lord. My Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. What? Absolutely, it gets better. Watch this. After my skin is destroyed, I know that my flesh, nepesh life, my flesh, that's this stuff, flesh, I shall see God. What's he talking about? Nobody could know what he's talking about. He's writing at the time of Abraham. He's talking about Jesus Christ, whom I shall see for myself. You know, there's a fascinating passage in the 27th chapter of Matthew. It's great. And it says, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know what it says? Many people who were righteous broke out of their graves and went, and people saw them. Now, that's stunning. Broke out of their graves? How is that possible? Jesus Christ changed everything. He changed everything. And so Job sees that he will see Jesus Christ. Now let's just put that aside for now, because I have part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to this. So this is part 1. And part 1 is we're going to deal with the first of all of this wealth that Job has. Now there was a day. Don't you love when God starts a scripture, there was a day? You know he's going to tell you something. Now there was a day when the sons of God, this is amazing, because some people say, well, we're the sons of God. Are we really? Because it's used several times in the Bible. Every time it's used, you look it up in Hebrew and it says angels. So the sons of God, which is angels, which is the way they talked back in the days of Abraham, came to present themselves before the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D, God, Elohim. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord singled out Satan. He knew exactly that Satan was there. Satan is not omnipresent. God is. Satan is not. So the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come, Satan? Now, what do you think Satan would tell him? Well, it's God speaking to him, so he's forced to tell the truth. And Satan tells him, he says, so Satan answered the Lord and said, and this again, verses 6 through 8, from going to and fro on the earth. Say earth. Isn't that amazing, earth? Earth is what? It's a planet. A planet that we all live on. A planet where there's gravity. And there are times when I think that I pray that there would be less gravity so I could weigh less, but there's gravity and there's all of this beautiful things that happen to us, but it is sin-bound. Satan is going on earth. He said to the Lord, from going to and fro on the earth. To and fro, meaning there and here and here and there. Notice that Satan is not omnipresent. God is. Satan is not. He says, and from walking back and forth on the earth. Now, this is really amazing as we see this, because we see the image of Satan and how he's going back and forth. God wants us to know this. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? It was God who brought Job up, not Satan. God is the one. That's amazing, actually. Have you considered my servant Job? Now, Job has no idea this is going on. That there is none like him. God's speaking. There is not one person like Job on the earth. He's a blameless and an upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Fears God, shuns evil. There's a big difference, because there are some people who say they fear God and they love evil. Take evil in. I'll do whatever is necessary to make man happy, and I'll make God happy and man happy. Fears God and shuns evil. Makes a decision about the flesh. No. Sin is no. Very important. Now, the important thing to remember here in this first point is God is the one who brought up Job's name. Earth is not a playground. It's a battlefield. About three people got that. I'll say it again. Earth is not a playground. It's a battlefield. Nope, maybe a few more got it. Earth is not a playground. It's a battlefield. When you get outside this church, inside this church too, because some people are troubled in areas that Satan goes after you. When you become saved from hell, when you say yes to Jesus Christ, do you understand that Jesus Christ comes into your soul? And do you realize that the Bible says your soul is the temple of God? Do you understand that? Everybody get that? If your soul is the temple of God, Satan is not happy that the temple of God is here, trying to destroy the temple of God. So what Satan does is he shoots all kinds of things at you. You have a target on your back. I've said this many times. We're not on a ship that's a cruise ship. We're on a ship that's a battleship. Man your stations. Understand that your best life, not now. No, your best life is with God in the future. Now, how we handle our life here, God says to love life, God says to respect life, God says to honor life, to make sure that we all understand that. That's important because that affects us in our eternal life. Very important. We go on. Now listen to this. So Satan answered the Lord and said, yeah, well, God, sure, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge of protection around him? Of course you have. I mean, I can't touch him. This is the proof that God is not watching from a distance. God protects him and helps him. And around his household? His whole household too. And around all that he has on every single side. You have blessed the work of his hands. And his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has. Lord, you do it. And he will surely curse you to your face. Now Job has no idea this is happening yet. He doesn't know what's happening. They're talking about him in heaven. He doesn't know it. This is fascinating because he says, you're going to curse him. Job's going to curse you. Just do it. Let me tell you the truth. Satan assumes that we serve God for obvious benefit. I serve God because he makes me rich. I serve God because he gives me a Ferrari. I serve God because I can be rich through God. No. The reason that you serve Jesus Christ is because you recognize that Jesus Christ gave his life for yours. That's what you recognize. Why do you serve God? Do you love God? You serve the ones you love. You don't serve to get, you serve to give. Do you serve God? Job chapter 1, verse 12, and the Lord said to Satan, Satan said, God, you do it. The Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has, all that I've given him, is in your power now. Only do not lay hands on his person. Are you serious? God gave everything Job has to Satan. Why did God do that? So Satan went out from there in the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you, Satan is the enemy of our soul. He assumes that we will hate God if we are exposed to evil. If somebody's exposed to evil and they come to me and they say, I'm not going to serve God anymore. He did this to me and he did that to me. I'm not going to serve him anymore. And I say, well, why in the world did you start serving him in the first place? You don't understand. there are people with guns to their heads. And other people saying, renounce Jesus Christ or die. And do you know what they say? They say, praise Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of my life. And you know what happens? Boom. Many times in the persecuted church, that's what happens. See, people understand this, that Jesus Christ, he is the one who is in trouble or in our lives who brings trouble. But the trouble is overcome by Jesus Christ as well. He assumes that we will hate God if we are exposed to evil. Watch this. Now, this is the part of the scripture that begins the journey of Job in his downtime. I want you to understand that, again, this is scripture, this is not me, so you need to hear the scripture. You need to listen to what the scripture says. It's on the screen, here it is. Now there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. They were celebrating, having a good time, enjoying the blessings of life. And a messenger came and said to Job, the oxen were plowing, the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided us, and they took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword. I alone have escaped to tell you. 1/3 of his businesses wiped out. That's pretty bad. I mean, that's a major upset right there. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire from God, or the fire of God, fell from heaven. The fire wasn't from God. Understand this. The fire wasn't from God. Fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. 2/3 of his business wiped out. What does the scripture say? While he was still speaking, another came and said to him, the Chaldeans formed 3 bands, raided the camels, and they took them away, and yes, killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. All of his business and his income wiped out. Job has no idea that God was talking about him or that Satan was saying that about him. But at least, praise God, at least he still got his family. Man, that's a big thing. You can take my business and take my things, but don't take my family. You know, my family's important to me. I mean, that's really good. And we need to be sure that our family's good to us and important to us. And while he was still speaking, another came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the people, and they are dead. I alone have escaped to tell you. Grief has a way of wrenching us. I can't imagine losing 1 son. Losing 7? I can't imagine losing 1 daughter. Losing 3? Can you imagine losing all of your children in 1 day? All of your businesses? And then Job arose. He tore his robe. He shaved his head. He shows his grief by tearing his robe and shaved his head, expressing it. And he fell to the ground and he worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I shall return there." The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a man. What a man. And that's phase one of his loss. In all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with any wrong. Satan was made a liar. He will curse you if you take it away. He took it away, and Job said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Satan goes back to God. We'll talk about this next time. And he says, "Yeah, but take his health and he'll curse you." And God gave Job's health to Satan. He is obsessed with Baghdad boils. It's a virus that is so nasty. Covers every part of your body. You can barely function. You just scratch yourself all day long because that's all you can do. This is what Job went through. This is the beginning of suffering. What does this mean? Why would God tell us? Jesus Christ is the battle. We must be prepared for it. God is good all the time. Listen to how quiet it is. God is good all the time. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. God is good all the time. Thank you. Say it louder.
And all the time, God is good.
All the time, God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Let's pray. Father, we understand that Job is a story that tells the truth about the reality of this world. We also understand that you have done great things and you do great things. There are times that we accelerate in our business and times that we decelerate. There are times that we accelerate in life and we decelerate. We understand that. Help us to be able to realize what the Psalms tells us, that promotion comes from the Lord. That when we work hard and do the things that you tell us to do, promotion comes from the Lord. Help us, O Lord, to understand that there are difficulties in our lives and that when we leave here, Satan will do his best to grab us and shoot at us and tear at us. The truth is, Lord, I do not expect my life to be the best that it can be right now. Oh, you give me a great life, a good life. There is no question about that. And we do not seek for evil. We don't seek for badness to come. But Lord, when it comes to standing up for your word, when it comes to standing up for your name, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to see the importance of standing with you regardless of what happens to us. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that we would understand what this means. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Help us to realize that. Father, I pray today that if there is anyone in this room who does not know you as Lord of their life, that you would help us to come to you. And we ask, Lord, that you would listen to our prayers. Everybody pray and say, Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life as the Lord. I believe you died on the cross and you rose again miraculously. And I take you as my Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Stand with me, please. There is a part two and a part three to this. There's several parts to this. We will continue on them as we go. Bildad, Elihu, and Zophar are the three friends of Job. And friends, I don't know if you want to call them that. At the end of the chapter, or at the end of the book, God says to Job, after he asked him 86 questions, 86 questions. Job is confronted with 86 questions. God asked him, he said, Job, you know, if you don't pray for your friends, I'm going to kill them. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus Christ and his mercy is absolutely stunning. His mercy is amazing. May God have mercy on us today as we listen carefully to the Word of God and what it means and what it says. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace as he writes his name on your life this week. God bless you. Go in the grace of Christ. Remember, tonight we have prayer meeting at 6, and you're invited to pray. It's a prayer meeting. We pray at the prayer meeting. So it's very, very important. If you believe in prayer, then the prayer meeting is good for you. Thank you very much. Join us on the internet as well.